I had an interesting thing happen to me. It was about 2.5, 3 years ago. My brother-in-law, Jennifer's brother, had just had twin baby girls. And they were born a bit premature, so they were still in the hospital. Now, when I say that they were born a bit premature, they were born really, really, really premature. I don't remember if it was 20 or 22 weeks, but they were born very, very premature. And they had to spend a lot of time in the hospital. And my brother-in-law called me and he said, David, would you come and baptize our two girls? Now, I had never really, you know, baptized these little preemies before, but I said, sure. I went down, and I mean, nobody was allowed in the neonatal ward, okay? I mean, it is like locked off so that there's no diseases that are brought in. And they were in these incubation units, and, you know, we could see them through a wall. There was a window in the wall, and there they were in the incubation units, and they said, we want you to go in there and baptize the child. I said, but I've got all these diseases on me. I mean, what if I give them something? And they said, we want you to go and to do that. And so we got some really, really purified water, and we went in there, and I washed up really good and, you know, put on everything. And I went in, and I baptized the child, both of them. And it's been, what, 2.5, 3 years now, and the girls are doing absolutely fantastic, okay? They've had a bunch of surgeries, but it looks like they're just going to live a normal and a healthy life, and praise God for that. But it makes you sit back and you wonder and you say, why would God allow such a thing to happen? You know, and what's funny is that with miracles of science today, we don't see a lot of the things that happen when people are born with all sorts of disabilities or infirmities. Even children today, you know, if they're born with some sort of disease, they stay in the hospital until they can get that disease fixed, and then they come home. And we're kind of isolated from all the stuff that really, really happens. But imagine living in Jesus' time. They didn't have a neonatal facility at the hospital. They had nothing. And so people were born with all these sicknesses and diseases. You know, it's said that about 40% of the children that were born wouldn't reach the age of one when Jesus walked this earth. There was a lot of sickness. There was a lot of disability. There were a lot of things that people had to go through that we are kind of isolated in our American culture, because when people get sick, they go to the hospital and the doctor, and most of the time they get fixed and they come home again. But that didn't happen in Jesus' time. There was no doctor to go to. And people had infirmities that really, really were very severe, like the guy in the reading today. And you got to ask, why is it that this guy was born blind? Why is it that my brother-in-law had children that were born so premature? Why is it that we have children that never make it to birth? Why is it that all these things happen in our life? Some of it we see, some of it we don't see, and we go and we say, God, why are you allowing this to happen? And this is a question. Why do these things happen even to good people? This is a question that theologians and philosophers and people have looked at for a long, long, long time. And some of you may be going through something today and you're saying, Lord, why is this happening to me? I'm a good person. I don't deserve this. You know, I can understand other people, but not me. What's going on? The clue to that question is in our reading today, and we're going to go through it. Now, I'm just telling you right off, I don't have all the answers of why God does all the things that he does, but I do have one answer from Scripture that we're going to look at today. And it's this account of the man who was born blind. And Jesus is walking along with his disciples, and they come across this man who was born blind from birth. And Jesus' disciples, of course, they ask him, now, who was it? Was it this guy that sinned, or was it his parents that sinned? Now, you see, there's a certain part of me that looks at the disciples and know that they're human beings and know that they're a bit catty like all of us are. And of course, you know, it's a big theological question, who was it that sinned? But I like to think, you know, that maybe the disciples, they just really wanted Jesus to unload and let them know what it was that happened. You know, if there was a sin, what were the juicy details, right? So they're walking by and they want to know what the juicy details were that caused this. And the guy says it wasn't this guy that sinned and it wasn't his parents. Now think about that for a moment. It wasn't this guy was born blind. What sin could he have possibly done to be born blind? I mean, he was born that way. I mean, was he sinful in the womb? Or was he sinful later in life and God knew he was going to be sinful in life, so he made him blind? Or what? I mean, it's a strange question. But the answer that Jesus gives is quite amazing. Jesus says it wasn't him and it wasn't his parents. You see, you and I know that there's a correlation between the stupid things that we do and the results of the stupid things that we do. And so we take that in our life and we say, well, of course that's going to happen because you did a stupid thing. And that's kind of what the disciples are talking about. You know, somebody must have done something really stupid, and that's why the guy's blind. And we know that all sinful things in this world happen because of the fall of man, and we see ourselves how when people do really, really stupid things, it causes really, really stupid results. Yesterday, John and I were driving back from Phoenix, and we're driving on I-10, and all of a sudden there was a bunch, must have been about 20, emergency vehicles and police cars and all that sort of things. And I turned to my son. I said, well, this should be interesting. I wonder what this is. And we looked, and some guy had decided to try to cross the railroad track in his SUV. And he got stuck on the railroad track. And all these people were trying to figure out how to get the guy off. And John and I turned to each other, and we said, we hope a train's not coming. And, of course, 2 minutes later down the road, we see a train coming. Okay? And we're like, oh, did they get the thing off the track, or is it still on the track and it's caused a wreck? I mean, when you do really, really stupid things, then really, really stupid things happen, right? I mean, there's always a causation of that. And so we naturally say, well, if somebody's born blind, somebody must have done something really, really stupid, or there must have been some sort of sin. And therefore, that's why the person's blind. But see, Jesus' answer, he said it wasn't this man's sin, and it wasn't his parents' sin. But you see, how many times do we ask the same question of Jesus? Because the corollary is this. If something really bad is going on in your life, what sin did I commit? Where in my past did I mess up so bad that God is punishing me with this? What is it, Lord? And the disciples must have struggled with that also. And they saw, they asked, what did the man sin with? But what it begs the question is there a correlation between all the sinful things that happen in life and as a punishment of God in our life? And if bad things are happening to me, and I think I'm a good person, and I think I follow Jesus, and I think he loves me, why are these things happening? Jesus says it wasn't this man, and it wasn't his parents that caused the sin. But here we get a clue to what Jesus is talking about. In verse 3, he says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said. But listen to this. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. This happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. That's a clue to the answer to the question to why sin happens, why things happen, and why seemingly things happen to good people that are really bad things. And Jesus said, this happened to him so that the works of God might be displayed in him. You see, God doesn't do the evil in this world. But at some point in this life, if you're walking around, something bad is going to happen either to you or someone you love, and you're going to come to that question, God, why are you allowing this to happen? And one of the answers from Scripture is that I'm doing this so that my glory may be displayed. How many of you in your life came to Christ because of some tragedy that was happening in your life? You were walking along and everything was going just fine and everything was great and sweet and sincere, and then bang, God hits you with something, and what happens? You show up in a church and you try to look for answers, and that's where you hear the Word of God. Or some of you may have been growing up in the church. You may have gone to Sunday school, and you may have learned all the lessons and all the wonderful things, and you're surrounded by great Christian people, and you've got this idea that God really loves you because you've been a good person, and nothing ever would happen to you until whammo, one day God hits you with something. You know, it's like that lady who when they were married, she was the one in charge of the family and of the household, and the man worked. And so this went on for a number of years, and finally the man came home and he said, "Hun, I don't know what to do." He says, "I lost my job. We've lost everything. We're going to lose the house. Everything that you know, we're going to lose." But the lady said to him, "You know what? I don't think that's the case, because as soon as we were married, I took a portion of the income that you gave me to run the household, and I socked it away. And I invested every time I socked it away, I socked it away, and then I bought gold, and I socked it away." She said, we're not gone. We've got $30,000 in gold sitting there. You just didn't know about it." You see, when you are a Christian and something bad happens in your life, and nothing ever in the past is really bad happened to you, then you draw upon that bank account that God set for you, that faith, and that faith is really tested, and you grow stronger and you grow deeper. Why? Because God is a God who heals. He loves to heal. He doesn't like to see his people in pain or hurting, but more than that, he knows that when bad things happen in this life, he loves to heal from those bad things. In here, it's talking about a man who was blind from birth and Jesus heals him. But in our lives, we suffer more from spiritual things than anything else. And God wants to come and heal you spiritually. He's a God who loves to heal. He's a God who loves to come and take a hold of your life and heal you and make you whole. And someday, even if you're struggling with infirmities, someday you will be with him forever and he will have perfectly healed you. He is a God who loves to heal. We just don't know the reason of why all these bad things happen. We can't put together all the pieces. We look at it and it makes no sense to us. But God knows. He looks at it and he says, "That's all part of my plan." And the devil can throw everything in the world at you, and that's okay, because I was victorious on the cross. I conquered death, and these people will be healed today spiritually and forever eternally physically. I love to heal. I conquered Satan. And he did. We just don't understand. I got a beautiful thing from my mother-in-law. She never sends, you know, those emails, you get all those emails. She never sends them to me. She sent one to me last week. I said, "Oh my goodness, Lord, what are you trying to tell me?" This is called weaving. "My life is but a weaving between the Lord and me. I may not choose the colors. He knows what they should be. For he can view the pattern upon the upper side, while I can only see it on this, the underside. Sometimes he weaves in sorrow, which seems so strange to me, but I will trust his judgment and work on faithfully. 'Tis he who fills the shuttle, and he knows what is best, so I shall weave in earnest and leave to him the rest. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly shall God unfold the canvas and explain the reasons why. The dark threads are as needed in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern that he has planned." He loves to heal you. And in your life, there are things that you say, "God, why are you letting this happen to me?" He knows what he's doing. And he loves each and every one of you. He died for each and every one of you so that one day you would be healed perfectly by his hand. In Jesus' name, amen.